السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، فإن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن، وإن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable علماء, respected elders and dear brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I would like to remind myself and all those seated here of the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, it is through the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can attain success in this world and the hereafter. Respected elders and dear brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind with the only purpose of preparing for Akhirah, with the only purpose of testing mankind, with the only purpose of preparing for Akhirah in a way that mankind succeeds in Akhirah, that mankind in this world realizes that my true success lies in the success of Akhirah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. My dear respected elders and brothers, if we have been saved from the fire of Jahannam and we have entered eternal paradise, indeed we have been successful. And this is the purpose, to enter that eternal paradise, to be saved from that fire of Jahannam, to gain that eternal success in the hereafter, that we have been sent to this world. A person who realizes this and works towards this and understands that if I have any failures in this world, they are only temporary. It's not a real failure. As long as I am successful in the hereafter, I have succeeded. He is successful. But the one who fails to understand this and he thinks that success in this world is success and failure in this world is failure, indeed he has failed, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that group, he has failed in Akhirah. So my dear respected elders and brothers, in order to attain that success, we need to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in various different ways. One is the common way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not only send us to this world, but He also made means for us to attain His pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept certain ways which are common, through which we can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as ibadat. Whether it's through salah that we are attaining the pleasure of Allah, whether it's through sawm that we are attaining the pleasure of Allah, through zakat, through other ibadat, through dhikr of Allah, through the tilawat of Quran, we attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are certain common ways in order to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, my dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts certain people in certain situations just to test them and to see if through that situation they are getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders and brothers, any difficulty that we go through in this world, or any situation that we are put through in this world, we must understand that through this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me, that my slave, is he getting closer to me or is he getting away from me? If we have used the situation to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, we are on the right path. And it is for this reason that from time to time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends certain epidemics to the world. This is not something new. We know epidemics taking place from the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum.
the famous epidemic, the plague, known as Ta'un of Amwas, during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he is the Khalifa. He's going towards Syria, where this Amwas, which is in Palestine at the moment, in those days Palestine, Syria was one country. So he's going towards Sham, towards Syria. The governor of Syria is Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu goes with his whole delegation towards Syria, and he stopped at the border of Arabia and Sham in Sarb. And there he is confronted by those in Syria, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah, etc. And he is told that there is a plague in Syria, you are headed towards the plague. Now Umar radiallahu anhu confronts the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, takes their mashura. What should we do in such a situation? Calls one group, Muhajirin Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, mentions this, that he calls a group of Muhajirin, he's making mashura, what do we do? He finds that there are two groups amongst them. One is saying that, no, we must go ahead, we have come with a mission. Let us not fall short on our mission. Let us go in front. The other group says, no, we should not go into destruction. Let us go back to Medina, because there are so many people, Muslims, with you. You are taking them all into that destruction. So let us go back to Medina. He couldn't make a decision. He calls another group, asks them, same result. Then he calls the third group, he makes mashura. And they give mashura, let us go back to Medina, because we shouldn't put ourselves into destruction. There is a plague there, we shouldn't be going there. So Umar radiallahu anhu makes his decision, we are going back to Medina. We are going back to Medina. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he asks Umar radiallahu anhu, Afiraram min qadarillah? Are you running away from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Umar radiallahu anhu replies to him, and he said, لَوْ غَيْرُكَ قَالَهَا يَا أَبَا عُبَيْدَةَ. Only if someone besides you had said this. Only if someone besides you had asked this question. You're such a great Sahabi. You shouldn't have asked this question. He said, yes, نَفِرُّ مِنْ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ قَدَرِ اللَّهِ. We are running away from the decree of Allah to the decree of Allah. If we go there and we have to face the plague, that is also the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, if we go back to Medina and we are saved from the plague, that is also the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, then, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, who was not present when all this discussion was taking place, he comes there and he says that, I know something about this from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the Prophet, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَا تُقَدِّمُوا عَلَيْهَا. That if you hear about a plague in a place, do not go to that place. And وَإِذَا وَقَعَ بِالْأَرْضِ وَأَنْتُمْ بِهَا فَلَا تَخْرُجُوا فِرَارًا مِنْهَا. And if you are in a place where a plague has taken place, then don't run from that. Subhanallah. The advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that do not go to a place where you know there is a plague. But at the same time, if you are in a place where an epidemic, a plague has taken place, do not run away from that place. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us see what lessons we can take from this incident and from this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Firstly, as for those who came from outside, Umar radiallahu anhu, etc., and in general, who is not in a place where a plague, an epidemic has taken place, the instruction of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is take precaution, don't go there. Yes, when we look into the teachings of Islam, there's a hadith which says, La adwa wa la fiyara, and so on. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referring to a contagious disease, which ulama explained, which is called adwa, or adwa generally could refer to contagious disease. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's nothing called adwa. That is, a disease cannot spread from one to the other.
So the people around asked, now why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that?
Because in Jahiliyyah there was a belief. There was a belief that there was a certain sickness, a sickness in a camel, that it was a kind of rash in the camel. And they believed that if another camel comes close to it, that camel would also get that sickness.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there's nothing like that.
So they asked, O Prophet of Allah, but we do see there is a sick camel, another camel which is healthy comes next to it and it also gets that sickness.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who gave sickness to the first camel?
How did the first camel get that sickness?
So my dear respected elders and brothers, the lesson for us here is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that on its own the sickness is not contagious. On its own the sickness cannot spread. But with the decree of Allah the sickness can spread.
That's why in certain other ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to take precaution. A sick camel, don't bring it close to a healthy camel. Likewise, firra minal majzum, firaraka minal asad. Run away from the leper, like you run from a lion. Don't go close to a leper. Take those precautions. That is the tawakkul that Islam teaches us. That we do believe in Allah, but we tie the camel and trust Allah. We take the necessary precautions. We take the necessary measures. And then we trust in Allah. That, oh Allah, I have taken this precaution. Now, if Allah wills, I will get the sickness. If Allah doesn't will, I will not get it. This is the iman of a mu'min. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to teach us. So my dear respected elders and brothers, Islam teaches us that there's no harm in taking precautions. Whether it be in the form of wearing masks, whether it be in the form of avoiding public places or closing down certain institutions, especially when it comes from a national level, we should cooperate because Islam teaches us to take precautions. But our iman should be right, that in spite of taking precautions, it is Allah who gives the sickness, it is Allah who cures. This iman we should have. Likewise, precautions in personal hygiene, that we wash our hands, that we do not touch our face with the hands. When it comes to personal hygiene, my dear respected elders and brothers, no one teaches us more about personal hygiene than Islam. Wash your hands before eating, wash your hands after eating, wash your hands when you get up from your sleep. Subhanallah. The five times wudu that we make, subhanallah, that itself is a type of precaution. Especially when we wash our mouths properly, we pass water into our nose properly, right up to the khayshum, the soft bone. My respected elders and brothers, there is no harm in taking these precautions. Islam teaches us that we should take these precautions, but trust in Allah. And to add upon it, Islam also has taught us du'as. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us beautiful du'as. That if you read them in the morning and evening, one will not be afflicted with anything. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammati min sharri ma khalaq. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. A person who reads these du'as 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, nothing can afflict him. Nothing can afflict him. A sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a scorpion bit me. Said, did you read this du'a? أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق in the evening. If you had read it, wouldn't have bit you. Subhanallah. Islam has given us the means to protect ourselves. We read these du'as and trust in Allah. We read these du'as, trust in Allah. Allahumma aafini fi badani, Allahumma aafini fi sam'i, Allahumma aafini fi basari. We read these du'as, the morning and evening du'as that ulama have taught us. There are so many books written on morning and evening du'as. We should make it a habit of reading these du'as. This is how we shield ourselves from them. But we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, my respected elders and brothers, from this incident, the lesson for those that were within that place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they should not leave. They should not leave that place. Yes, one of the reasons we understand is they should not leave that place. Why? This disease, they should not become a means of this disease spreading to others. So my dear respected elders and brothers, as mu'mins, as Muslims, as true Muslims, if Allah forbid, Allah save us all from this. But if someone has to be inflicted with this kind of disease, then he should take the steps to not spread it. This is also part of Islam. Islam teaches us this also. It is my responsibility to make sure that I do not spread it to others. I help the officials or help the authorities to quarantine this, and I do not spread it to others. That is also my obligation. And likewise, my respected elders and brothers, the scholars mention a very beautiful reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, do not leave that place. That is understood from another hadith, where Aisha radiallahu anha, this hadith comes in Bukhari, the meaning of which is that when she was asked about this ta'un, about plague, she says that the Prophet ﷺ taught me about this plague. He told me about this plague. And he said that this plague Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends as an azab to certain people. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to punish certain people, He sends it as an azab, yes. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends it as a blessing to the believers. Subhanallah. A blessing. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An epidemic is a blessing to the believers. If the believer stays in his place, does not go out from there, with the yaqeen in his heart, does not go out from there, making sabr, being patient, and with the yaqeen in his heart, that if Allah wills, I will be afflicted, and if Allah doesn't will, I will not be afflicted. With that, if he stays in that place, and he's afflicted, then he gets the reward similar to the reward of a martyr, subhanallah, reward of a shaheed. And we know a shaheed, before the blood drops to the ground, all his sins are forgiven, subhanallah. So my dear respected elders and brothers, as believers, we should not be panicking. Believers do not panic. Why? Because everything is khair for them. Whether they are saved from this sickness and Allah save us all, that is also khair. Whether they are afflicted and cured, that is also khair. Allah will make it a means of forgiving their sins. And Allah save us all, if one is afflicted and he passes away, still too he passes away as a shaheed. That's why the Prophet ﷺ so beautifully said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. How strange is the affairs of a believer. فَإِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. Everything that happens to him is khair. It is good for him. Anything that happens to him is good. And وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is khas. This is special only for a believer. Only for a believer this is special. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهُ. Something good happens to him, he's being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and definitely this is khair for him. And وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا. And something bad happens to him, then صَابَرَ. He makes sabr. He's patient. And فَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهُ. Definitely this is also good for him. This is also khair for him. Subhanallah. So as a believer, there's no reason for us to panic. But rather, we keep our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the decree of Allah is there, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Whatever Allah has decreed will afflict us, will come upon us. What He hasn't decreed won't come upon us. So whether we panic or do not panic, the decree of Allah, we believe, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. This is what we study from small age. All good and bad comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does Allah expect from us in this? That Allah expects us to make sabr. Allah expects us to be patient. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in another place, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That Allah, as I said, this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this world as a test. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran that I will test you. I will test you with fear. I will test you with hunger sometimes. I will test you with the loss of wealth sometimes. I will test you with the loss of lives sometimes. And I will test you with the loss of provision sometimes. فَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Glad tidings to those who are patient. Like I told you, a mu'min is the one who is patient. He is the one who is patient. This is from Allah. This is from Allah. I am happy with it. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for a mu'min everything is khair. Everything is khair. Even when he is passing away, his ruh is being taken. And he is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a believer. So my dear respected elders and brothers, firstly, we need to be patient. That is the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people, sabirin, are those when something is afflicted, they say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah, we belong to Allah. We belong to Allah and we have to return to Him. Today, sooner or later, we have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's have this attitude as believers. And at the same time, my dear respected elders and brothers, as I mentioned right at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends such situations so that we turn to Him. This is the time that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially being in the month of Rajab. Half of the month is gone. Ramadan is just a month and a half away. And we need to prepare for Ramadan from now. Many a times we see that we cannot get 100% from Ramadan. Why? We haven't prepared before Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the month of Rajab, he used to start preparing. That's why he said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us blessings in Rajab and Sha'ban and make us reach Ramadan. So let us start preparing for the month of Rajab. This is a good opportunity to turn to Allah. That we turn to Allah in dua. We make as much dua as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, you save us from all kinds of calamities. Oh Allah, you make our halat, our situations better. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, for the month of Ramadan, from now onwards, we start fasting. We start fasting on Mondays and Thursdays, or certain days of the week. So that when it comes to the month of Ramadan, we are ready. We are ready for the month of Ramadan. Let us start increasing our nafil salahs, our tahajjud. Let us get up for tahajjud and cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected elders and brothers, wallahi, this is what Allah expects from us in this situation. That we turn to Allah. This is nothing but a reminder to us, turn to me. Turn to me, because in this is success. Let us turn to Allah. Let us start reading our tahajjud. Cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become more regular with our sunnah salahs. With our qabliyah and ba'diyah sunnahs before and after fard salah. Let us become regular with them. Let us engage in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. In reading the Holy Quran, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, my respected elders and brothers, before Ramadan, let us try to learn those things that we need to be perfect in before Ramadan. Whether it be the tajweed of the Quran. Let us try to learn the tajweed of the Quran so that the Quran read in Ramadan, we know that it's read in the correct manner. Let us try to learn the masail of salah, the masail of zakat, masail of sawm, all needed for the month of Ramadan. Let us start preparing for Ramadan from now. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each and every one of us the correct iman, the correct yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we believe that whatever comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to make sabr in such situations. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding of deen and make us prepare well for Ramadan and make us attain Ramadan and take maximum benefit from it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.